USAA knows dynamic duos can save the day, like superheroes and sidekicks, or auto and home insurance. With USAA, you can bundle your auto and home and save up to 10%. Tap the banner to learn more and get a quote at usaa.com/bundle. Restrictions apply.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome into the Winklerverse. It is the All-Star Break Week 2025. And Grant Bill's going to join me in a little bit in full back next week. Just want to talk some Brewers trade stuff with him. And, you know, I don't like that there hasn't been a baseball game in a few days. It kind of sucks. The Brewers are going to be in action again this weekend, although the games will be late. They are in Los Angeles. And then they will be in Seattle. So some late Brewer games on a road trip before they come back home and celebrate 25 years of American Miller Field. A lot of people coming back for that one. Home Run Derby happening. Really want to go. Tickets are more than the seat I sat in. There was a Sunday game against the Rockies. And I talked about this. I was going to take my kid, sit up high. Just like show them I can't splurge for you every time, dude. But then as I was looking for tickets, there were $60 seats, two rows from the dugout. Those seats are hundreds of dollars right now for this game, which has everything you could ever want besides like a quality opponent with all due to the Marlins. Friday, 3 o'clock start. Can we make that a thing? Oh, God, can we make that a thing? Start the weekend right? And then hang out at the bars right after? Oh, I keep forgetting. But then everybody's coming back, all these guys that have been in this era of Milwaukee Brewers baseball, this being since the park was built, and the Home Run Derby after, which Home Run Derby, that is the fever sweeping the nation. With this swing off that we saw in the All-Star game. A lot of talking points out of that one. Got into them a little bit on the Infinity Sports Network this week. I liked it. I'm a big All-Star guy. I was like crying happy tears because I was just so happy to see these guys in their old uniforms again. I thought it was like 35 years since they've done this. The last time that baseball in the All-Star game had everybody in their own jerseys. It was 2019. It wasn't that long ago. I think I'm conflating that a little with the NBA that seemingly hasn't done it in a long, long time. I just think it looks much better. I think it adds to the whole vibe of the night. It's just a simple aesthetic thing that I think does go a long way. And I got really happy about the All-Star game. I love All-Star games. I love All-Star games. I just think they're the greatest thing. You know, you grow up as a little kid, you love baseball, and then everyone's there at the same time. All these guys that you have different sleeves of cards for are all together at the same time, interacting with guys from teams in their division, working together for a common goal for National League or American League pride when that mattered because the leagues were separate, as it should be. Yeah, I still would like to go back. It is maybe my least populist take, but I did like the All-Star game. Or I like baseball better when it was American League and National League. Now, what's the difference between any of them? Since the DH is gone, they all play each other. I guess you don't play home and home with the Yankees. You know, you alternate years. Where you'd play a home and home with the Dodgers, as we're seeing. I know. I liked it better. The or just change Let's make it American Conference, a national conference. These are not leagues anymore. They're conferences. And if you're so like the same, I was going to say monolithic, you know what I mean. Why do we still have an American League and a National League MVP? Could you imagine if we had an NBA East and NBA West MVP? Or a NFL, AFC MVP? NFC MVP? It'd be so stupid. I'm a bitch about that again tonight. Nobody like, I don't know. So there's some things that I think and there's like nobody, I think I've struck gold. And people are like, oh yeah, I guess. Oh, okay. I see. Yeah, sure. Home run derby at the end of the All-Star game was cool. The initial conversation was, why wasn't Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani in it? Well, the answer is because they fucking left. Pardon my... Yeah, they've been leaving for a long time. I think... Was that part of the story with the 2001 All-Star game that they leave? They leave. That's why even if they wanted to bring guys back in, they were already gone. What are you going to force them to? You're going to force them to stay? They have two at-bats. They want to get out of there. And even if you're like, oh, no, Aaron Judge, you have to do it. He's going to sit around and, what, warm up for 2.5 hours just in case? You don't want a guy to come in cold. He could mess up his swing. And then you have no Aaron Judge or Shohei Ohtani second half of the season. You force them to play, they're just going to say, I'm not bothering to come. I think people were pretty mad about that initially or head scratching and then kind of moved on with their day. Realizing that the logistics of that are kind of insane. The All-Star break is only 4 days. I know it seems longer. We as Brewer fans are going from a Sunday afternoon game to a Friday 9 p.m. game. That's like the Packers play in a shorter amount of times, multiple times a season. That's come on. That's a long break. But for these baseball players, they look forward to it. I referenced multiple times when the Brewers got swept, a 5-game sweep in Pittsburgh right before the All-Star break because they were looking ahead to it. These guys look ahead to it. And they look ahead to it. They want this break. They just want 4 days to chill. Then if you make the All-Star game, which is a great appearance, like let's say you have a 4-day weekend, okay? You have a 4-day weekend, and the second day of that weekend, so you get Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Or no, let's do a Labor Day. Labor Day weekend, Friday off for whatever reason. So it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's Labor Day weekend. You've been working your ass off all summer. You're looking so forward to it. But you were like one of the best at your job. So you have a party that you have to go to on the second day of that break, that Saturday. You have a party. It's a work party. I mean, it's fun, but it's a work party. It's kind of like a work function. You'll get paid for being there, so that's nice, but still, this was your break. This was the one thing you were looking forward to the entire summer. And also, because of that, the first night, everybody's got to get together too, and we got to watch something. So now Friday's shot. Saturday, you have a work party, but you're only needed for the first hour. So you're only needed for the first hour. And after that, you can deuce out. Do you stay the entire thing and have your Sunday salvaged or your Saturday ruined? Or do you leave and say, I still can get a Saturday night out of this weekend? That's kind of how I look at it. Like with me working Friday nights, I am on the air until 1 o'clock. So I don't like that I don't have a Friday night. So then what I do is I come home and try to cram a full Friday night into the hour that I'm home before I go to bed. You know, you fire up the SmackDown, maybe meet Timmy Shea at a bar, you know. Singles become doubles, become triples, and you're packing a whole Friday night because I don't like that I lose my Friday night. So I get it. They don't have a long time, and then a lot of these guys have to be back on the Thursday of that week to do some drills and have the media come or what have you. So I get it. They want to extend their weekend. That's fine. Should the swing off be something that's implemented in Major League Baseball after nine innings? I don't think so. Maybe you play like three innings of extra innings and then you could go to a swing off, but you can't just go. We can't be doing penalty kicks. We can't be doing penalty kicks after nine innings. We can't be doing that. You got to still play some of the actual game. And I know there's already a runner on second and it's not the same as it used to be. But then again, man, all these things that I bitch about with baseball for changing, I complain that they're abandoning the shift. Oh, no, you got to beat the shift. Well, they got rid of it, and I barely remember that. I complain about getting rid of the pitcher batting, and then, oh, you know, this is fine. I complain about the pitch clock. I think there should be no time in baseball. And then, you know, this is fine. I complain about all these things, and then I end up, like, just thinking it's fine, if not better. So what I – because I don't want there to be a swing off in regular season games. But will I just see it a couple of times and say, oh, no, that's fine. I don't want there to be robot umps in baseball, but that ABS thing was kind of sweet. And it was quick and it was easy. The ball strike review. So maybe I'm not bent out of shape about it. Now I'm like, I'm bored. Now I want to see it in games starting Friday. So I'm very much a pushover when it comes to standing up against baseball. And then just bowing down to whatever they do. No, I do like that, I guess. I do like that. All-Star Game was fun. Nope, Freddy Peralta, of course. Nice way for the Brewers to get another guy. He pitched on Sunday, so did not pitch in this All-Star Game. And Trevor McGill came in. They allowed, the National League did, allowed four runs in the seventh inning. So McGill had to come up, clean up the mess. He was the third pitcher of the inning. He got Stephen Kwan, the potential tying run, to bounce out and end the inning. So McGill came in, did his job. And then we thought he'd be in the seventh. He ended up being in the eighth. And Jacob Mizorowski threw 11 pitches for at least 99 miles an hour. He threw the nine fastest pitches of the entire night, maxing out at 102.3 MPH. And he had a slider at 98.1 miles per hour. Randy Arozarena, I thought, did take him deep, and Alejandro Kirk took him a sizable length as well. Aranda singled, and then another flyout from Zach McKinstry. So Mizorowski, that's why he was in the game. He was in the game to get guys outs and to throw hard. That's what he did. I don't know that you need to grill him afterwards if he deserved to be there or not. The All-Star Game's in Philadelphia next year. So if he makes it, they're going to boo him because he took Ranger Suarez's spot. Philadelphia, you know, this city of brotherly love, man. They really all of a sudden give a shit about Christopher Sanchez. Phillies fans may not even not know who he was a month ago. He got robbed. Sanchez got robbed. All right. Well, Jacob Mizorowski, a star is being made. You cannot say baseball does a poor job building young stars and then complain that Jacob Mizorowski's in the game. You cannot say baseball does a poor job of building young stars and then get mad that they did on-field interviews with Pete Crow Armstrong, Jacob Wilson, and the like. Pete Crow Armstrong, man. That sucks. That guy's cool. That's cool. I really liked his message when they were interviewing him on Fox. He's like, I try too hard to be other people. I just got to be me. That's a good message for people, baseball or not. Just be yourself. You have a unique gift to offer the world. Wow. That's great. Kid's 23. I didn't realize that message in life until 23 minutes ago. So good for him. But baseball's got to build young stars, and I think the All-Star Game did help in that fashion. Now, I've been seeing Freems rant and rave about this. If Mizorowski wasn't a Milwaukee guy and he was like a big city guy, would people have celebrated it more? Probably. I don't know what is the deal, but people do not like us. MKE versus everybody. Bobby Portis is right. We are brought to you by Happy Place Hemp. Promo code is BART, 25% off each and every order. I will probably need one of those. Well, not probably. We're going to have to go the sleepy gummies, the CBD, CBN, the purple ones, because I've had a tough week of getting up early. Wife's been out of town. I have to take the kid to camp. Then we had like a guy come out to look at our dryer, so I didn't get a nap in. So I was on 2.5 hours sleep the other day because then my alarm was going off for some reason. One of my smoke alarms just magically was like, it wasn't even like a replaced battery or there wasn't a problem. It was just basically the alarm at 5:30 in the morning the other day just decided to be like, fuck you, Bart. Fuck you, Bart. Wake up, bitch. Eat shit, Bart. So I'll need, okay, so I'm tired. So why can't I nap? Why do I need a gummy to nap? Oh, I'll tell you why. Because the Air and Water Show is happening this weekend with my friends at Waterstone Bank. And they keep flying right over my house. Waterstone Bank is the place where I interviewed and they seemed interested in hiring me. And then I said, what if I only came to the office twice a week? I have a podcast I want to do on the side. They were not so receptive to that idea. But I did get an interview there, unlike at Batteries Plus. Happy Place Hemp, promo code BART, 25% off. Also the gummies and the seltzers and the dog treats available too if you want them to chill out and relax. All available on the website. They're also located College Court in Muskego. That's happyplacehemp.com. Promo code BART, 25% off each and every order.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining the program now from the Wisco Sports Show is Grant Bills.
What is this?
Great
this
to have different. You.
Good to see you.
Well, I'm coming back from a built-in blue wire break.
Okay.
Yeah, that I have to manually insert.
I'm sorry to hear that. You don't have a producer to do that for you?
Well, Tim will edit my post, but he stays away from the commercials because
Well, that's executive producer work. You need an associate producer, it sounds like.
I am going to take the plunge. First of all, nice to see you. I'm going to take the plunge and I'm going to get something that I have seen other houses have. I've always thought it was so offensive and rude and also ugly. I've never seen a good stylish one, but I'm getting a sign on my door that says no solicitors.
Do those have legal grounds? Like if you're a solicitor and you come up to a door that says no solicitor, like, are you
forced
to go away?
I think what they'll see it and be like, oh, okay, this guy's not going to come to the door.
Sure.
If we ask him. So
I assume I'll bite that this is stemming from an incident, which you're now going to tell me about.
Set up and intro body.
And here we go.
Well, I've been thinking about this for a while.
What happened?
So first of all, election day broke me.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, my street is like, if you're in the solicitor game, and I know it's a tough job and I don't envy it. If you're in the solicitor cold door game, I think my street is like level one.
Well, this is what you get when you want walkable, personable neighborhoods. This is a side effect of that. But I'm sorry, continue.
It's like practice on this street. I had the last person that was here was trying to get me solar, something solar. And then they like got pissed at me that I wasn't accepting on the spot. I brought it up on the air that night and someone called in and they said, Bart, don't ever, ever say yes to a solicitor. Not all of them, but some of them are casing you for information on your house. Just in gentle conversation, trying to be like, how many kids are here? When are their work schedules like? When are they home?
Oh, for robberies.
Yeah, I never thought about that. So I was very cautious what I was telling this guy today. Election day broke me because we live close to a polling place. And, well, first of all, I don't think the cat's out of the bag here. But I had a sign up in my yard.
You had a political sign?
I did.
Okay.
I did. And it was in my yard on election day. And so don't you think that if that person has a sign,
one would think,
and lives very close to the polling place, like, we can check this one off, man. So I think the total was 5 on election day. But what really fucking lit my fireworks was someone came down my block at like 10:30, hit my door, and then went down the street. And right as like they went off the block, a new person came out of the block, and I got a 10:34 after a 10:30. And I had enough. So I got to get one of those black signs with orange font, no solicitors. Like a real loser.
Why do you have a political sign? What are the point of those? We have the right to a secret ballot box. Why do we not exercise that?
I wanted a couple of reasons.
Okay.
One was I was trying to gauge reaction from my neighbors.
Okay.
To know if they were on my team or not. And you I got a nice sign. Like, okay. Hey, like your sign. So in a good way.
Did you like that person previously?
Yeah, but now I'm like comfortable, you know, having them watch my children. Oh, child.
Okay, sure.
Hey, I just put up a fear of the deer sign. That was good. That was up there for 5 fucking days.
Okay.
I got it at Metro Market.
Claws up.
Claws up.
Claws type of up. Situation.
Well, that can lead us right into the Brewers, Grant. Well done.
Okay.
I wanted to... Somebody said something like, Brewers haven't made a significant deadline deal since 2008. So I was trying to find a list of the deals they made at the deadline. And I type in Google. This is why fucking AI is going to... I can't find a goddamn list.
You'd think AI would be excellent at this stuff, but it's not.
So then I did use AI. I used Grok. Okay. And Grok gave me... I'm reading through and I'm like, oh, I remember this trade. I remember this trade. And then they go, July 30th, 2021, Brewers acquired Aaron Ashby and Zach Brown from Cleveland for Colton Wong in cash.
Why do I not remember that?
Because it didn't happen.
Oh, I was going to say, what?
So then I said to Grok, hey, that Wong trade never happened. How did you fuck that up? And he said, or Grok, I apologize for this trade. It did not occur. Thank you for pointing it out. While aggregating trade data from sources like MLB.com, Baseball Reference, and Brew Crew Ball, I inadvertently conflated separate events or rumors with an actual trade. Specifically, Colton Wong was a focal point in trade discussions around 2021 and 2022. This led to an erroneous assumption that a trade involving Wong and Ashby occurred in July 2021. And then I started asking questions about Epstein.
Well, here's the thing. There's this new trend. You know, I asked Grok or I asked ChatGPT, and I would say, well, I asked Chuck Freeman, and he told me 135 East Sunset Drive in Waukesha. That's where you get your ribs on a Robert's specialty meats, ribs on a stick.
Don't you hate after every tweet right now? It says at Grok. Is this true?
Yeah, it's just, oh God.
Ask perplexity. Is this real?
We're just burning gallons of water for every letter that we type into that thing. So I'm told on the internet. That might not be true, but that's what they tell me.
So it did. I think the rest of it was pretty straightforward. Of course, there was the CC Sabathia trade that Paul was upset about because we traded away Zach Jackson.
That seems to fit. Did they do anything in 2011? That was notable?
Yeah. Well, in 2010, Grok goes in 2010. 2010, they go, Brewers acquire Jake Odorizzi, Alcides Escobar, Jeremy Jeffress, and Lorenzo Cain for Zach Greinke. And then Grok goes, note, some sources list this trade as finalized in December 2010, but preliminary agreements were reported in July. The fuck they were.
Yeah, that's not how that works. Okay, so they acquired Greinke. I'm trying to think in that 2011 year. If
2011
they...
was K-Rod.
Oh, okay. And what, it wasn't Aramis Ramirez. Did they have Jerry Hairston Jr. in one of those years? Or like,
he might have been, there were some of these guys, like Jerry Hairston Jr. I think might have been, I think he was an August guy.
One of those. They don't do those anymore.
No, you're right. Hairston traded July 30th for Eric Komatsu.
Mm.
And then when did we get, was that 2008, Ray Durham?
I don't remember that far back.
Yeah, Ray Durham was 2008, and that was for Steve Hammond and Darren Ford. So, yeah. All right, so then 2011, 2012, it says we got some reliever from the Yankees I've never heard of, so that might be false.
Oh, so you're just looking at Grok.
Yeah, because I wanted it in a list, and there's no article. There's articles that are like, the six worst trades Brewers made at deadline. Mm-hmm. But I just want like a list.
Yeah, which AI should be very good at. Like if there's one thing online that like go through all the databases and give me a list, and it can't do it, which is frustrating. 2018.
What?
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
2014, Brewers acquired Gerardo Parra. Remember that?
I do.
2015, David Goforth.
Don't remember.
And then the Gomez Fires Hader deal.
Peralta, you got Hader back. And then 18, they added, let's see, Jonathan Scope, Mike Moustakas, Xavier Cedeno, and Joaquin Soria. It was more of a shotgun approach.
That Matt Albers, I think, too.
And then late season signed Curtis Granderson, I think, in that late window, right, in August that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, 2017, Anthony Swarzak. 2019, Jordan Lyles, Drew Pomeranz, Ray Black. 2021, Daniel Norris, John Curtis.
John, those guys sucked ass.
Eduardo Escobar. 2022 was the Hader trade. Have we litigated that enough?
Why is it the Hader trade and not the Tyler Rogers and whoever that, why do we call it about what? I'm very excited for.
Hey, if they didn't trade for Esteri Ruiz, we don't have Contreras.
Yeah, we don't have a catcher with a broken finger. God, how that would change things. I'm excited for two summers from now because I'm definitely doing like a full week of remembrance of the Hader trade, the 5-year anniversary. Like, if I'm still doing this job, I'm going to do a week on it in the middle of the summer.
Mark Canha, Carlos Santana in 23, Savali.
Yeah, I've been referencing the Mark Canha trade a lot because that's the measurement of what I don't want. And it's unfair because it's nothing against Mark Canha. I don't want another version of what we already have on the team.
God, Grok, you know what I mean? Grok sucks. July 30th, 2024, Brewers acquired Andrew Vaughn for Peter Strzelecki and Anthony Hoopy Toñeta.
Not quite.
Ay, ay, ay.
Not quite. I don't want a Mark Canha. I don't want another, like, if that's what I'm getting, then I would rather just not. I would rather just roll with what we have. You know what I mean? Like, if you can't get someone who's a sizable, meaningful upgrade over Durbin, Ortiz, or Collins, probably most notably, then I'm not interested. Like, don't futz around, don't waste my time with a Mark Canha or a Carlos Santana. It does nothing for me. And I don't think it does anything for the team either.
Yeah, I don't like, but the impact. So what are we going to get then? Cause the Red Sox fucked around and won 10 games in a row,
which sucks. Yeah.
So it takes their guys out, the Diamondbacks, but like, oh, we want Eugenio Suarez. Oh, so does every other fucking contender.
Yeah. The Cubs are an interesting player in all of this. The future of Kyle Tucker, there's levels to this. I talked about this when I was filling in for Bill earlier today. If the Cubs feel good about retaining Tucker, I think it means they'll be less aggressive at this deadline. But if you talk to most Cubs fans, or like Rosenthal was writing today, like, hey, watch the Rays in Tucker with new ownership. He's from down there this offseason. And the Yankees, I think, are a natural fit. If the Cubs internally are like, this is probably the only year we're going to have Kyle Tucker, then the reports of them wanting to be winners at the deadline and wanting to really blow everyone away are probably true, which from a pitching standpoint won't affect the Brewers because they won't be in on pitching. But for third baseman like Suarez, they'll absolutely, like, the Cubs are a competitor for that. So you mentioned everybody wanting Suarez, and it would make sense for the Brewers. Well, most notably, probably the Cubs, because Matt Shaw is like not going to cut the mustard and be what they need if they want to try to win a World Series.
Yeah, I mean, who else?
You're asking me who else? You're the one typing everything into Grok.
You know what I just typed into Grok?
Do I want to know?
I said, who is a bigger Brewers fan between these radio titans, Bart Winkler or Grant Bills?
Oh, boy.
Do you want to know what it says?
Do I?
I haven't read it yet.
Oh, go ahead.
Determining who is a bigger Brewers fan between Bart Winkler and Grant Bills is tricky since fandom is subjective, but we can piece together some insights based on their personas and content. Bart Winkler, blah, 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 da, da, da.
Well, what?
Well, it just sounds like he's been covering sports media for 15 years.
Sure.
His podcast dives into Brewers topics. For example, he's been vocal about the Brewers' ups and downs, like their rough start in 2025. He's known for his ongoing feud with Cubs fans and his lingering resentment towards Craig Counsell.
It's true.
His roots in Milwaukee and long history covering the Brewers.
Sure.
His claim of 2010 vision for Wisconsin sports.
That is funny.
Paint him as a diehard who lives and breathes the team's highs and lows. Grant Bills in lacrosse is equally entrenched in Wisconsin sports.
I don't know about that.
His show often focuses on the Brewers' latest games, player performances like William Contreras' big nights, and roster moves like Aaron Civale's trade request. Bill's commentary can be analytical, but also carries a fan's perspective, as seen when he expressed skepticism about the Brewers' wins or frustration with their struggles, like blowing leads or defensive weakness. Oh, fuck you for this. His ownership stake in the Green Bay Packers.
Yes.
Adds a layer of fan credibility, though it's football related. His daily engagement with Brewers content and his reactions, like celebrating the hijinks in a loss to St. Louis or ranting about a series loss in San Francisco, show he's deeply fuck Grok. Comparing the two, both display strong Brewers fandom. Their styles differ. Winkler's emotional, hyperbolic takes, like predicting a sub-500 season after the first weekend, suggest a visceral, hard-on-his-sleeve connection. Bills, while passionate, seems to lean more analytical, though his rants, for example, about the Brewers' batting order, show he's just as emotionally tied. Winkler's Milwaukee roots and longer media career give him a slight edge in terms of cultural connection to the fan base, but Bill's daily grind in lacrosse and his nuanced takes make him a close contender.
Interesting.
Without a definite metric for fandom, it's a toss-up. If we're measuring by emotional intensity and Milwaukee-centric identity, Winkler might edge out slightly.
I agree.
If it's about consistent, detailed engagement with the team's performance, Bills holds his own.
I actually think that's probably accurate.
Fuck Grok for saying all of this.
Why? I, you know what I don't get about you? You use AI more than anyone I know, and you bitch about AI more than anyone I know.
I don't use it that much. I just use it when I need to come up with a NASCAR preview.
Ah, I see. Where are they racing this weekend?
Both, I don't know yet, and I won't till Friday. Both are titans of Wisconsin sports radio, and their love for the Brewers is neck and neck. Call it a tie.
I love being a terrestrial radio titan in the year 2025. I can't tell you how much that means to me hearing that.
Pick one if human fate depended on it. Grok says, my roots in Milwaukee get it.
You were on the field in 2018 in St. Louis and in Chicago.
Yeah, and I'll let you know about it anytime my mouth opens.
Yeah, that is true. I think your consistency and your presence in Shorewood, I think, do give you the edge. I wish I still lived in La Crosse. I was there last weekend. It was nice. It was very nice. Smoky over there. What the heck's going on the western side of the state? It's just wildfire central over there.
On the eastern side of the state, I got the air and water show flying test flights over my head every 15 minutes.
Yeah, I see the... What's funny is I see the people on Twitter who are all about community events and engagement and things going on, things that would bring folk, you know, people to Milwaukee, and yet they are upset that there are planes flying over their head. I do. Not you. Others.
I'm kind of like that as well. Do you want any other questions from Grok before I close it?
No, I think I'm okay. I think we've used a couple gallons of water. I think we're good.
Questions for you. I've been doing... Listener Appreciation Week during All-Star Week.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is not much to talk about. And this is a great way to kill 2 hours a night.
And appreciate your listeners.
Yeah, and get to know them.
Yeah.
I have gotten to know some. I have strengthened some of the callers' on-air personas this week.
That's important.
We got a guy, Bert, in Baltimore, who's been like auditioning for... Carlos is going to let him judge Guess What They Said.
Okay.
And he's been auditioning all week, and it's a fun little bit. What was the biggest sports accomplishment in your life?
Well, I played sports that most people don't consider to be all that.
Mine was when I beat my buddies in shuffleboard at my friend Travis's 40th anniversary or 40th birthday party.
I still think my biggest athletic still, like, it's going to change if it hasn't already. I still think it would either be, I was very proud of a race that I ran in track my junior year. I ran a 4:34 mile and I got second barely to some guy from Hudson who was at the conference championship meet. I think that's, I am still proud of that. That's hoofing. That's very fast, but not exactly catching a touchdown on homecoming.
I did an 11:10 2 mile under the lights at the county track meet.
That's cooking too. Under the lights is, it's a cool experience to run track like that.
It is. And also senior year, we bowled every two nights of the week. And I was like a 130 bowler, but then I brought a girl that I liked and everyone thought I would suck. And I threw a 218.
Did she talk to you? Did this change anything about the relationship or the interest in either one of you, or it's just a small side note to the story. Not important either way. I'm not minimizing. I want to know if it led to something.
No, I don't think I hit the strike zone.
Okay.
On that one. What's the best and worst stadium you've ever been to?
Ooh.
I went Lambeau or Wrigley.
You like Wrigley. You're a Wrigley guy.
And worst was where the Chargers used to play.
Paycor? Or the old Chargers, like San Diego?
Qualcomm.
Oh, Qualcomm. So the soccer one or the one in San Diego?
San Diego.
Okay. I mean, the Metrodome kind of sucked ass. Went to some Brewers Twins game there growing up. I like all the Wisconsin stadiums a lot. One that I have been to that's very cool, I'd like to go back. I don't even know what it's called. It used to be Safeco in Seattle. I would go back to that. That would be cool. So just to give an outside the box answer, Lambeau, it's the best. I mean, that's not an interesting answer.
What about sports was better when you were growing up?
Mm.
I said, I don't like that we, I don't like that we have to watch like Terry McLaurin publicly negotiate with the Commanders.
Yeah.
And then we're going to know every detail of his contract.
It's weird. Honestly, the first thing that came to mind, like just figures or people that I miss. It's weird because I love Greg Gard, but Bo Ryan was the absolute balls. Like just having one of those coaches. I miss Bo Ryan. And I love Greg Gard, but I miss Bo Ryan. That's one thing I miss about sports when I was growing up.
I'm still so pissed the day that he stepped down because that was the day I interviewed Jeff Janis.
Oh, really?
And that was going to be the focal point of Chuck and Wicket.
I mean, did that many people listening to Chuck and Wicket really care about Bo Ryan stepping down?
Well, Mike Wicket and Chuck Freeman cared about Bo Ryan stepping down.
Sure. Okay. That makes sense.
What's one?
I just remember your Ben Wargle interviews were probably the biggest can't miss segment that you ever did on the morning show. So I assume there was a big, because you didn't care about it. I could tell. That's why.
I did let Chuck, I pretty much in and out that one and let Chuck dance.
Mm-hmm.
One thing you'd change in sports history. I said I wish Russia would have beat the U.S.
Why?
I don't know.
Jesus. I thought you had a take. Like, okay, let's hear this.
I don't know. I mean, you could say 100 different things. But as far as a game, it's 2014.
Yeah, I mean, probably. That's some of these answers. I don't just want to say the same thing that everyone else is going to say.
I'm trying to think of a more, like, outside the box one.
Man, it would have been cool to see the Brewers win at home in Game 7 in 2018, but that Red Sox team was so good. I don't know that it would have ended in a championship.
I want to say, like, if Major League Baseball instituted a salary cap at one point or something.
Sure. What about, like, another way to look at it is like,
well, mine's going to be that the NASL, the soccer league with Pele, didn't flop.
Okay. Maybe like go back and prevent an injury to Sharp or to Bakhtiari, you know, hardly earth shaking, but like if I'm trying to think of things like my team maybe could have ended up with a championship if not for ABC. I mean, Nick Collins, JerMichael Finley, a couple of those guys.
First sports movie you think a kid should see?
Because
we watched Sandlot, which
movie sucks.
It spends way too much time on that dog. I wanted to see more hijinks like, oh, you got the girl to kiss him at the lifeguard.
Sure.
Show me more of your summer. Show me more of the amusement park. Don't just show me 30 minutes of trying to get the ball back from the normal sized dog.
From the normal sized dog. Favorite sports movies?
But I do think that the kid, if you're going to watch a sports movie, it should be a sports movie about a group of kids.
Okay, well, that's the thing. Like, I don't like any of those movies. Maybe Angels in the Outfield. I watched that when I was really young. I remember that.
We watched Rookie of the Year this last weekend, and that wasn't as good as I thought it was.
Yeah, because it's a kid's movie, and you saw it when you were a kid. You know, you know what? I'm going to take a different spin on this answer.
Space Jam.
I've also never seen it. Don't care. Young adults should watch I Really Like Coach Carter and Moneyball.
Then we fail.
Yeah. I mean, Hoosiers. Hoosiers are Miracle. I would say Miracle's awesome. So those are probably for younger kids. Coach Carter, maybe another step up. That's one of my favorites.
Should I ask Grock?
Sure. I mean, at what point are you going to show your son Major League?
Well, my big problem with that is the Indians don't exist anymore.
Your problem with that movie is the complicated mascot. It's not the other stuff?
No, not anything about the mascot. It's okay. That the team changed.
Okay.
Because he knows who the Guardians is. And if it was a Cleveland Guardians movie, and if they were still the Indians, I'd be more prone to show him. But
you just don't want to confuse him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, I mean, he knows every team inside and out.
That's fair. Okay.
And sometimes on YouTube now, he'll watch. There's videos that show year by year who's won the title. Mm-hmm. And then a chart of like who's in the lead.
Oh, yeah. The real-time bar graphs. I really like those.
He loves them.
Good for you.
Look at me. But then he also watched Extreme Hide and Seek with this fucking kid that like quit YouTube because it got too stressful for him or some shit.
Out.
Out
on the Watts Tag League too. Out, out, out.
What about Mr. 3000?
Never seen it. I haven't seen a lot of movies, so I'm probably not the perfect person for this question.
Grok says Sandlot.
Bull Durham. Sandlot's the correct answer.
Because it's kids playing together in a neighborhood. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
Which you don't see that anymore. Kids playing outside in groups.
Yeah, no shit. Why won't kids go outside and run around unsupervised other than the fact that parents won't let them do that?
Yeah. Just something you don't see a whole lot anymore. I went to the doctor the other day. I had a Larry David moment with my doctor because I jacked up my foot and I was scared that I was going to need a hard cast. I have a vacation in the middle of August where I'm hoping to go fishing and I'm hoping that I'll be able to do things. He's basically like, yeah, we don't do hard casts anymore. And I'm like, you know, how about that? I haven't seen a kid with a cast in a while. He's like, I know, right? I'm like, oh, that was a very Seinfeld.
How about that?
Herb Cody. Yeah, you don't see kids in casts anymore. How about that?
All right, I'll end on this. My one friend, he's like, I really fucked up today. Or no, he goes, I fucked up last time we went to the dentist. He took his kid to the dentist and he's like, oh, last time I went to the dentist, I really fucked up. I go, what happened? Well, it was around Halloween time. And I said, you must hate Halloween, huh? And she's like, why? And he's like, because of all the candy. And then she goes, I don't know, you just clean the teeth. And he's like, fuck. Then I'm not going to talk about why I scheduled this appointment for Tooth Hurdy. Good to see you, Grant.
This was your clincher?
What, my ender?
Yeah.
No, I ended with some voice. I'm ending with some voicemails.
Oh, the clincher to this segment, though.
Yeah.
Just watch the teeth. Sorry for trying to make small talk with a dental hygienist. Like, I'd be like, okay, well, I'll go sit out in the waiting room. Sorry.
Yeah, no. Sorry, I'll just go die now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll go kill myself.
Jesus.
And just call me when the kid is done and they've picked their little prize out of the chest.
Yeah.
Smells like laughing gas back here. Anyways,
nice. Why don't you pre-bill me for the braces, too?
Yeah, just go ahead and we'll start that payment plan. Nice to see you. I miss Paul, but this was a treat.
We will talk next week.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
And we'll wrap this up with proof of life for the Carl's Place voicemail line. The link to check out Carl's Place and all the golf simulators on any of the new YouTube videos. It's very long now and it's different and I just put it in there. But you can check it out or send me a message. I'll get you the link. But I got a message from Brick in West Dallas after he caught the episode earlier this week with me and Tim Shea. The line is active, 402-915-BART, 402-915-2278. I think the last six or seven voicemails I've got, it's always starting with, don't know if this is active. It is. Although I did just get an email from Google Voice that said, are you using this thing? And so I had to place like six calls the other day to show it proof of life. Here's Brick in West Dallas.
Bart, it is Brick in West Dallas. Been a while. Don't even know if you do voicemails anymore for the Into the Winklerverse, but I was just listening to the most recent one with Tim Shea. I agree with Tim. I feel kind of the same way with all my Wisconsin sports, Packers, Bucks, Brewers. I'm here for the ride. I'm loving it. I'll go back and forth with people and buddies and friends about it and talk about it, watch it. But I refuse to get my hopes up and really, truly believe just because I've had my heart broken too many times. So that's just all that I just want to say. I agree with Tim there. And then to answer your question about why they don't do all fan giveaways, part of it is scarcity, right, and that kind of thing. But actually the bigger part is I worked with the Brewers all right around the time Tim was there. But I worked in the marketing department with the film team. And they do it to get people to come into the events early. A common issue that they always seem to have is there's a backlog of a logjam of people trying to get in right around the start, and then people don't get into later in the inning, which means they don't do much concessions and there's more traffic. So they do a lower number to get people to come in early because they want the thing. There's a large chunk of people that don't care about the thing, and they'll come in whenever they want to come in. But the actual baseball fans will come in early to get the thing. So that's all I wanted to say. Hope you're doing well. Keep it up. Love the podcast. Love your national show. Have the day you deserve. And fuck Craig Council, baby.
Well, maybe that makes sense. But then what they should do is advertise 25,000, but then have 40,000. Nobody, if you have a giveaway, no, and it's not like a special ticket promotion package, like get a Pokemon Go Brewer shirt, which is also the day of that 25th game, then you should quietly like give everyone one. So make them think there's a demand, but everybody should be coming away with one. Maybe they do that, and I'm the sucker. Dunno, but that's what they should do. Have a great weekend. These summer weekends are fleeting. You might be like me. I saw a tweet where it's like, you can really tell what kind of person has shitty winters because they just try to cram every fucking thing into every summer weekend they can. Well, yeah. Summer's great around here. Don't ask about the rest. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, as always, for stopping into the Winklerverse.
How many discounts does USAA auto insurance offer? Too many to say here. Multi-vehicle discount, safe driver discount, new vehicle discount, storage discount, legacy.
How many discounts will you stack up? Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/autodiscounts. Restrictions apply.